I had a hard time. I'm not very good at titles to sermons. And we're going to be in 1 John chapter 3, 11 through 24 this morning. And I was trying to figure out, how do I title this? Assurance in Him, and I scratched that out. And a clear heart, or, you know, no worries on your heart or anything like that. And then I finally settled on true love. You know, here we are, it's Valentine's Day. Also, this evening is the Super Bowl, and I thought, well, do I do a sermon that goes along with the Super Bowl, or do I do one that's more about Valentine's Day? And I finally ended up with sticking with Valentine's Day because, that keeps me a little bit more out of trouble. And, you know, if I did on the Super Bowl or some conflict, why, yeah, that's what it'd be on conflict. I'd have to go back to Elijah and all the prophets of Baal or something like that and have a big, you know, the big battle and things. But anyway, this is what I settled on, true love out of 1 John chapter 3. Now, just a little background to it. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, the Apostle John reiterates, you know, the old commandment about loving one another, and he defines righteousness as loving the brethren. And then a little later on in 1 John 3, 1 through 10, the passages preceding this one, he talks about the fact that it applies to the test of righteousness, and here in our scripture today, it's applied to the test of love. And I just want to read verse 10 before we jump into verses 11 through 24. Verse 10 says, "In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother." So we know that side of it. Now, I'm just going to tell it like it is, and we're talking about pastors and things like that. You know, Brother Ron brought that subject up. One of the problems with churches is we have a hard time loving our brethren, don't we? All the time. Most of the time we love one another, we care for one another, and but then somebody says the wrong thing. They probably didn't even mean it against you. It was just something that was said, and then all of a sudden we're upset. We're mad. And is that what God says we're supposed to do or be? No. No, I've seen more churches split and upset and broken because people couldn't get along with one another. They absolutely do not do what God says. Okay, you didn't like what he said. Give it to God. Don't try to take care of it and carry it around yourself. Give it to God. So, having said all that, if you're able, would you stand in the honor of the reading of God's Word as we read 1 John chapter 3, 11 through 24. Verse 11, "For this is a message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brothers righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. Now, he who keeps His commandments abides in Him, and He in him, and by this we know that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the beauty of the day. It's the cold time of the year, but the sun's shining, and you can get a good deep breath of fresh air and just invigorates us. And Father, we thank You for Your word as You tell us very clearly how we are to act and feel toward one another. Lord, You know how we are, and we slip and we stumble, but Lord, You've given us the bar of soap in 1 John 1:9-10. Lord, we just take it to You. And Father, help us, each and every one, to do that today. Help us to take Your word and apply it to our lives. Not our wives, not our spouses, not our neighbors, but apply it to our lives. Father, we love You and we praise You. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. John regards love as an obvious fact of life of a true believer. That's the way he sees it, and we know that God gave these words, every one of them, to John as he wrote them down. And he declares that the whole message of the life and character of Christ is a message of love. It's the greatest love story ever told, the greatest love story ever lived and acted out. And see, that's what God has said and told us in this passage of Scripture, that we are to, we are to live and to love, not just by our words and what we say, but what we do. Live it in deed and in truth. That's the way we should be. And those are the things that these verses, I think they point out that the Christian's whole duty is summed up by the obligation to believe on Jesus Christ and to exercise love in our lives to those around us. I know some of us aren't very easy to love. My wife tells me that every once in a while. But, you know, and all of us have our moments, I'm sure. But God, did He overlook our problems when Jesus went to the cross? Absolutely, He overlooked our problems. Man, if He had looked at all my problems, He just stayed here on this earth and then returned to heaven and forgot all that dying for me. But He didn't. He overlooked those things. Love is manifested toward one another. That's what God has told us to do. Manifest our love toward one another. Manifest. What's that mean? Well, we talk about a ship's manifest and all those different things. But when we manifest something toward one another, we show it. You know, it's not something we just talk about. We absolutely show that. And if someone asks you for the ship's manifest, well, if he's a government official, you have to show it to him. And there are all kinds of manifests that they've got bills of lading and all this, but they're basically all manifests. This love is a natural result of sonship. Do you find it hard to grasp that you, if you know Christ as your Savior, that you are a son or a daughter of God and a co-heir with Jesus Christ? I have a hard time wrapping my little mind around that, but my mind isn't very big. It doesn't go very far. But I have a hard time wrapping and getting a hold of that, that I am a co-heir with Christ because I'm adopted. God loved me enough that He adopted me. And He adopted you. So, you know, I look at all some of these big, fine houses around and I go, well, that's really mine. And they're just taking care of it for me. You know? And they're cleaning it. And my wife doesn't have to, and they're paying the taxes on it too. So I don't have to worry about that. Everything, but it's all going to go up in smoke, isn't it? And then we're going to have a mansion in heaven. We're not, I'm looking out and the majority of us in here are older. I'll just put it that way. And we may have aches and pains. You know, I noticed that Tim no longer has that sling. That's a good thing. But then I was talking to this gentleman over here this morning and he was talking about his knees giving out. We get there, guess what? We don't have to worry about slings. Don't have to worry about our knees giving out. And this is, I think, my third time that you've allowed me to come over here and you're putting up with me. But you've probably noticed most of the time I don't have one of these on, a tie. Well, the reason for that is I've got what's called idiopathic peripheral neuropathy. Means the idiopathic means they don't know what causes it. But I have no feeling in my hands or my feet up to my knees. But tying a tie and making it look like it's supposed to with hands that don't feel anything, that's a tough job. Now, my wife said, this is getting close to Valentine's Day. You need to dress up a little bit better. Okay. Now, so I battled around and I got tied up this morning. So, but, you know, a lot of times we look at people and say, why doesn't he or she do that? There may be a very good reason. I have to watch myself. I burn and cut myself constantly and don't know it until the skin comes off on a burn or blood starts dripping. I go, oh, how did I do that? But the only good part is I don't feel it. So, you know, but pain is your friend. The first couple of times I was over here, I was in kind of a walking shoe or walking boot. I don't know if you noticed it, but I was. That's because I ended up with third-degree chemical burn on the bottom of my foot because I couldn't feel that there was something going on down there. And by the way, if you're put any of that foot pain cream or, you know, high-powered Bengay or stuff like that on something, don't apply heat, even mild heat, to it. They don't say, warning, do not do this, but I'm warning you, don't do that. It's bad. It'll drive it right through your skin. Enough of all of that, but we need to be motivated by love instead of hate. Love instead of just irritation. It's easy to get irritated with people, isn't it? The world that we live in today, I easily get irritated with our government. I need to be praying for them. Boy, do they need a lot of prayer. But I get irritated with them. It's like, oh. But, and I'm not saying either, I'm not taking either side of it. Both of them are like, seriously? Did you ever think of that? But a lack of love is an indication of one who is still in death, the death of sin. That's what our passage said this morning. But do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. Does the world hate Christians today? Yeah, you're constantly reading of this place won't allow churches here, and they won't allow churches there. They don't allow prayer. They don't want God or Jesus to be mentioned anywhere or anything. They don't want it in schools. You know, the world hates us. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. That's how we know who we are, where we are. He who does not love his brethren abides in death. I've got some brethren that's hard to love. I've got some family that's hard to love. But I need to do that. We need to do that because God says, he who does not love his brother abides in death. Now, I want to point out something here. It says brother because we need to love the people that's in the world, the lost, enough to give them the gospel. But we need to love our brother and sister in Christ, our brethren in Christ, more. Because they are brothers in Christ. And we are reminded over and over how precious our brothers and sisters in Christ are. God wants everybody to be saved. Don't get me wrong. But what goes on with people that are lost, that live in the world, their hearts in the world, what do they do? They're the ones that hate us. We don't hate them. We love them and want to see them come to Christ, but they hate us. And that's a simple fact, and it's hard. Is it easy to love somebody that hates you? No. Not for me, anyway. If somebody hates me, it's a little hard to love them. And my wife tells me that's not real love because I like to love them and show it. And she says, yeah, but sometimes you do that just to irritate them. And I said, okay, maybe I do. But, you know, I love them. I want to see them saved. I want to see them know Christ as their Savior. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Boy, that ought to give us pause when we are really almost on the verge of hating someone. Because God's word doesn't lie, and to me it's very clear. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Love. Was Jesus murdered? Yeah, he was murdered. He was sacrificed for us, but he was murdered by the people that hate him. And do we want to be in that position? No. I don't. Did my sins put him on that cross? Yeah, my sins put him on that cross. He died for every one of them. And I hate that. When I think about that, it's like, oh my, you know. And at that moment, we can resolve, I'll never do that again. And then a little bit later, we're going, I just did that again. We need to love in truth. In verses 14 through 18, I've already read part of that, but verse 16 says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We need to imitate what Christ did for us on the cross. We need to lay down our lives. Now, that probably and most likely isn't going to mean that we're going to be killed, that we're going to shed our blood for our brother. But sometimes it does. Sometimes it means that. I look at all our military people that have laid down their lives that we might have freedom in the United States of America, and I look at them as shedding their blood. They loved us enough that they died for us, that we could have freedom, the freedom to live and to worship as we please. Without it,
Without those men, we could be speaking Japanese today, or German, or something like that, Russian. Without the men and the women that have laid down their lives for us. Now, they probably, at the time, they didn't think about it being a religious act or anything for God, but some of them, I believe, did. But did they die that we might be free? Absolutely they did. And many of them died that they might be free. They survived it. They died for others. They put their lives on the line for others. Now, we may not be called to do that in that fashion, but can we give our lives to love one another, to draw other people into this church to where it's so full that you got to stick chairs in the aisles and put a loudspeaker outside or something? We can. If we just show love to those around us, many of them may not even understand it. They may go, boy, they're different. What have they got that we haven't got? They might want to come just to see what's going on. You never know what's going to draw somebody in, but I'll guarantee you hate will not draw them in. Love is what's going to draw them in. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? If you see your brother in Christ with a need, I mean a need. We're not talking about, I saw on the news this morning before I left, somebody scamming someone else saying, I need $5,000 for my computer. The computer went bust. And the lady sent him five. That's not the kind of love and help that we need. And that's not the way. But if you see somebody that has a need, like they've got a job, but their car's broke down and they can't get there without it, help them get it fixed. It doesn't mean that you have to go out and buy them a Cadillac. But now if you see me going down the road and I'm sitting off the side, well, you can go buy me a Cadillac, a new one. Or, but I'm just joking. But we need to help them however we can. Fill the need. I often wondered about, have you ever stopped and thought what your needs really are? Let me tell you something. Your needs are a whole lot less than you think they are. Because when we went to New Guinea, we left Max Creek, Missouri, and we filled a crate. Most of it had tools for building to build us a house when we got over there out in the jungle. But we got over there, and I used most of them. Do you know that you don't have to have a refrigerator to live? Think back just probably 100 years ago, most of our ancestors didn't have refrigerators. You can get stuff, even today, you can live right here in the United States without a refrigerator. I didn't say it was nice. I didn't say it was comfortable. I said you can live. You don't have to have a refrigerator. You don't even have to have a stove. There are so many things that we can get by without. You don't have to have a TV. You don't have to have satellite or direct TV or dish or whatever. You don't have to have that. You don't have to have a telephone. Believe me, that thing we carry around, that thing should be cast into the depths of the sea. That thing is nothing but an electronic leash on you, and they know it. Wherever you are, you couldn't hide from nobody. Amen. And I just, as you can tell, I don't like them. Over there, we didn't have them, and we got by just fine. We had my wife, when we went into the tribe, A boat motor was more important than a refrigerator, because the boat motor's how we got out to get supplies and stuff and get back. The refrigerator's just what we kept food in that needed to be refrigerated. You know, canned goods, they got them over there. Milk, have you ever seen UHT milk, ultra heat treated? We couldn't afford it, but they had it over there. It comes in a little paper carton, and it's been ultra, you can set it on the shelf in all kinds of temperatures, and that stuff will be good 6 months from now. There's all kinds of things that our ancestors didn't have. They survived. They got by with them. Your needs come down to food enough to keep you alive, clothes enough to be decent. Then, believe me, the tribal people, that ladies are topless, and you know the guys, they just have a lap or a sheet wrapped around them. You don't have to have much for clothing over there. And clothing, food, and a place to lay down and go to sleep. That's really all you need. But we have become so spoiled. I'll just put it that way. And I'm spoiled now. It didn't take me long to get spoiled when I came back. I took to it real quick. Really quick. I liked it. Air conditioning. Over there's air. What's that? Air conditioning. It's 90 degrees every day over there where we were. But I got used to air conditioning real fast when we come back. Of course, they don't have winter like this. If they did, they'd all be huddled around the fire. So we do basically the same thing. God says, "My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." That's what we're supposed to do. We're to love in deed and in truth. And I watched the tribal people. They never went hungry. They had plenty to eat. And if somebody was sick or somebody couldn't go to their garden, they all had gardens. By the way, men, the women took care of all that stuff. So, good deal. And they carried everything in. You carried the bush knife with a little fire stick stuck on the end of it. So it's a man's world. But if somebody was sick or something happened, if they broke a leg or had a gash on their leg from a mislick of an axe or a bush knife, everybody else, they brought them food from their garden. And they lived. They cared for one another. They loved one another. Even though many of them at that time they were not saved. They didn't know Christ as their Savior. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. What is true love? Is true love a box of chocolates? No. It's nice. It shows that you care. But is it true love? No, true love is doing whatever it takes to help your neighbor, anybody that you come in contact with, but especially your brethren and sisters in Christ. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, I'm going to tell you something. Here's what I firmly believe. A lot of the problems that's going on in the world today, especially, what's the suicide rate now? It's higher than it's ever been. Why does anybody commit suicide? They're without hope. They've condemned themselves. Do we make mistakes when we condemn ourselves? Yeah, we do. That's exactly what God's Word is telling us here in verse 21 and 20 and 21. If our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. You know, God knows everything. Does God condemn us? The only time God condemns us is when we've rejected the Holy Spirit, when we have rejected Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's the only, and he tells us, well, you do this and here's where you're going. There's two roads and you get to make the choice. He doesn't condemn you to that. Here's a road. The road to heaven. The road is through Christ. You got to go there. Or you choose the other road. He doesn't condemn us. He laid down His life. Jesus Christ laid down His life that we might have eternal life. He does not condemn us. We condemn ourselves. And that's the problem with the world. Everybody, well, I'm hopeless. People sins. You hear all the time of teenagers sending somebody a text and they go, you need to kill yourself. So what do? They go out and shoot themselves or whatever, take a bunch of drugs. They condemn themselves or somebody else in their group condemns them and they believe it. They fall. And if there's somebody here that's had a suicide in their family, I apologize to you because I know that that is a hard, hard thing. It is very hard because you have no control over it. And the question is always asked, what could I have done? We begin to condemn ourselves. But God doesn't condemn us, as it said. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. We need to learn to turn to the Lord in all those things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. Our heart, does your heart ever lie to you? Think back to the time you were a teenager. Did your heart ever lie to you? Oh, I'm in love, I'm in love. And a week later, oh, I'm in love, but not with her, with her. Yeah. You know, our heart plays tricks on us. And we begin to think, oh, this is it, or that's it. And yeah, our heart can. But if our heart doesn't condemn us, if we're in Christ, if we've accepted Him, we're living with no known sin. I like to say I keep my prayer life short. I keep it pulled up short. Keep all those sins, my known sins. I don't have known sin in my life at this moment. I'm not saying I don't have any sin in my life, but I don't know about it. If I do, I take it straight to God. And what does God do with it? He forgives me. That's what it's all about. Accepting Christ as your Savior. Taking your sin to Him because your heart will condemn you. Say, oh, you're a dirty, rotten rat. You, man, you said that, but you was thinking something else. The guy I take care of that's in the nursing home. And, you know, I want you to take this as an example. And this is the way, and he does it all the time. I'm constantly saying, Kenny, take a bar of Lysope and eat it. But he doesn't cuss, but he comes so close. Son of a biscuit eater. You know, how much closer can you get? But he's constantly saying that, and it just drives me crazy. And he's 91. I don't know. I've been working on him for 30 years. I've known him for a long time. And even I'd come back from New Guinea, and he hadn't changed. I keep thinking, oh, come on, Kenny, clean it up. Well, I was around that too much. We've always got an excuse, don't we? I run them dozers all my life. I was a dozer operator. And them other guys, them other guys, what about you? That's the way she goes, isn't it? We always can look, point at someone else. Whatever we ask, receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do these things that are pleasing in His sight. That's why we can have confidence. Our heart does not condemn us. We have confidence toward God because we're looking toward God. We've accepted His forgiveness. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. Did you know it wasn't a suggestion? He gave us what? A commandment. We have a hard time keeping and believing and following God's commandments, don't we? I do. You know, it's like, seriously? You want me to love that person? Did you see what they did? At times, I love Kenny, but there's times when he says stuff like that, I'm like, seriously, God? You know, take His voice away from Him for a while. You know, help Him out. Now, he who keeps His commandments abides in Him, and He in him. And by this we know that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given us. How do we know when we're abiding in Him and He is abiding in us? How do you know when you have the Holy Spirit of God within you? Well, it's when you've placed your faith in what Christ did for you on the cross. When you were saved, did it change your heart? Yeah. If it didn't change your heart, you need to get a do-over, because I'm afraid you weren't saved if it didn't change your heart. There is a change when Christ comes into your heart. You have the Holy Spirit that lives within you. Now, I know most of the time we ignore that little voice that goes, I wouldn't say that. You're thinking, don't say that. Or, don't do that. That small, still voice that's sitting, that's right there and going, don't do that. And the reason I know that a lot of times we ignore it, because I've been guilty of ignoring it a few times myself. Okay, a lot of times myself. That is what it is. That's how you know. If it comes right down to it, if I ask you, do you know Christ is your Savior? Do you? Think about it. Do you know Christ is your Savior? Do you have the Holy Spirit living within you? Are you abiding in God's love, the greatest Valentine ever made? If you don't, and you aren't, there's no time like right now to get that taken care of. And if you don't know how, come talk to me. Talk to one of the deacons. Well, I don't know. Sometimes deacon. Well, I'm joking. Talk to one of the deacons. Talk to a Sunday school teacher. Someone that you know is a Christian. You can tell by the way they live. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We praise You. We thank You for Your word. Lord, more than anything, we thank You for Your love. You made animals so they obey You instantly. They don't question. They just obey You. But Lord, You gave us a free will. And boy, do we abuse that. Father, lead us and guide us. Continue to love us. We know You do. But Lord, let us not take that for granted. Father, let us love one another, because love is of You. And if we know You, truly know You, then we will love one another. Father, we lift up these prayer requests in Your name. Amen.